which group before you caused you to cry out to me and made you a deeper, more fully committed man? Your buddies or your enemies? Which group has helped you to become the person you are today? Your buddies or your enemy? And I had to say, my enemies? It's almost like the Lord said, then you better start to thank me for your enemies. Isn't that right?
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, we began a message entitled Better Together, where we learned the importance of developing healthy relationships. Today, Pastor Wayne is going to deal with a couple of issues of the heart. It has to do with being humble and forgiving, things that don't always come easily, but what a difference they make in our relationships. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Better Together.
And a lot of that has to do with the way I perceive things. And that's why God said to me, you've got to work hard on your attitude. Let's read what it says in the very next verse in Philippians 2:6. Go. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped or held on to. Let me read it this way. Have the same attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. Although he knew he was right, he didn't regard that something to be held on to. But he laid it down. And that's called forgiveness in order that healing take place. It's such an important thing. Your attitude is more important than your past. More important than your schooling. More important than your accomplishments. It's more important than you'll ever realize. We've got to work hard on that to see things into a better state. Why? Because if I can't forgive, then the bacteria begins to affect me, affect my family, affect my future, affect this church. The best thing I can do for this church is keep forgiving. Just forgive. How many of us know sometimes you got to forgive someone 150 times until you're free from that? Corrie ten Boom, the ten Boom family was a Dutch family that helped Jewish people escape from the Nazi regime. They were caught and summarily thrown into the same concentration camp that the Jews were going to. Corrie ten Boom had a younger sister, prettier than she. Hence, the German soldiers abused her day after day after day until her life began to ebb away. She was weak and she was hurting so badly. Towards the end of her life, her sister was laying in the bed and her hardly had any breath left in her. They both came from a Christian family, but Corrie ten Boom hated those German soldiers. She said, I hope they rot in hell for what they've done to you, she said to her sister. And her sister, who loved God, said, Corrie, you must forgive them. Forgive them? They don't deserve to be forgiven. I won't ever forgive them. Look at what they've done to you. She said, no, forgive them, Corrie. She said, well, maybe one day if they grovel in the dust and come crawling to me on their knees, I might consider forgiving them. And her sister said something really profound. She said, Corrie, you must be free long before that time. You must be free long before that time. Because see, what her sister understood is forgiveness is a gift for you, not for them. Because we have to be free. Otherwise, that stress, that discontentment, that anger, that bitterness allows the bacteria of sin to affect you in such a way that there's an ulcer on your soul that affects your family, affects the way you live, the decisions that you make, even your future. And how can God take something that was deathly and turn it into life unless there first is forgiveness? Forgiveness is what starts the healing process. Remember, Jesus said he would heal. You decide how long it's going to take. You say, well, that's pretty hard. I've got to work on my attitude. But why is it so important? I'll tell you why it's so important. Because would you write down your attitude is connected straight to your heart. Your attitude is connected to your heart. It's kind of like that song that says your hip bone connected to your thigh bone, your thigh bone connected to your knee bone, and your attitude's connected to your heart. It is. It's connected right to your heart. Because if you have a bad attitude, you're going to have a bad heart. If you have a skeptical attitude, you're going to have a skeptical heart. If you have a bitter attitude, you're going to have a bitter heart. What if you have a proud attitude? You're going to have a proud heart. It's connected directly to your heart because humility of mind, it starts here, the way you perceive things. If you perceive it poorly, your heart's going to receive it poorly. If you perceive it in a bitter fashion, your heart's going to receive it in a bitter fashion. That's why we find in the book of Psalm 86:11, the psalmist prays, "Teach me your way, O Lord." I mean, show me what you're doing, because it's not about me, but it is about what you're wanting to do in this church that I'm a part of, the family I'm a part of, the future I'm a part of, huh? So teach me what you're doing, God. Teach me your way, and I will walk in your truth. Now watch how he says this next one. Unite my heart to fear your name. See, attitude is perspective, is connected to your heart. So unite my heart to fear your name. I will give thanks to you with all my heart. If I don't work hard on my perspective, it can sour my heart. I remember once I was having a really hard time and with some adversaries, and I was saying, "God, that person doesn't deserve forgiveness." And the Lord reminded me, no, you got to learn this way. And it's not about them. Yeah, because they're bad. God says, I know they're bad. But forgiveness is not about them. It's you. I've got a plan for you and your family and your future and your children and the church. And if you don't cooperate with my ways, and if you allow bitterness to go in waiting for that person to die, can you understand how it affects everything that you're a part of? It's not about you. It's about my plan, of which you're a part of. And then he said this. This really helped, because when you work on your attitude, you have to see things bad into a better state. And when you see it into a better state, then you say, oh yeah, I can forgive. But if you see it in a bitter state, then you can't. So you got to work hard on seeing things better than they are. For example, the Lord spoke to me when I was just saying, you know, I don't like that person. I don't like that person. He said, whoa, Wayne. In this hand are your buddies, all right? And over here are your enemies. You got it? So here are your buddies, and here are your enemies. All right. He said, now take a look at both of those. Remember? Your buddies, your enemies. Now, which group caused you to fall on your knees and develop a deep prayer life? Your buddies or your enemies? Which group compelled you to drill deep into the Word of God and with tears in your eyes start to discover my plan? Your buddies or your enemies? Which group before you caused you to cry out to me and made you a deeper, more fully committed man to the plan of God and to your marriage? Your buddies or your enemies? Which group forced you to receive a deeper confidence and a commitment in the things of faith? Your buddies or your enemies? Which group has helped you to become the person you are today? Your buddies or your enemies? And I had to say, my enemies? It's almost like the Lord said, then you better start to thank me for your enemies. Isn't that right? And I thought, that's crazy. And then I realized that's biblical. Doesn't he say in the book of Matthew chapter 5, it says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Love those who hate you. Love thine enemies. And I thought, oh, really? Yes, for great is your reward. oh, so God's going to use this? But if I don't understand forgiveness, I will turn bitter, and everything God wanted to do in my life and my family and my future and my children and the church, he can't do because it is stopped with bitterness, and I allow the bacteria of sin to start to multiply. And then I look around and say, what a terrible world this is. God is saying, yeah, but you're part of the healing of this or the proliferation of this. You choose. And then I began to understand how important it was for me to work on the way I see things, because my attitude is really connected to my heart. I remember about the same time I was sitting over here and we were taking communion, and I took the communion cup, and it was almost as if the Holy Spirit just transported me back to that place called Calvary. Do you remember that place? Where Jesus spilled his blood to give us the most powerful gift of all, a gift called forgiveness, that allows God to take whatever situation, whatever death that was taking place, to convert it into life. I saw him on the cross, as it were, and he said, Wayne, do you understand how the suffering that I suffered there resulted in death, but that death resulted in life, in order that I might, in your deaths, bring life? Because you're going to go through a lot of deaths, betrayal, setbacks, this goes bad, that goes bad. But forgiveness will keep you free from that bacteria intruding into you and destroying what I want to do. But if you will do this rightly and you will offer the same forgiveness that I've inaugurated at that place called Calvary, if you'll do the same thing that I do now, even though it looks like death, I'll bring redemption for millions of people. If you will offer the same thing, I'll be able to bring life out of that too. And he stretched out his hands, and you know what he said to those that were hurling abuse at him and cursing him? He said, Father, what? Do you remember? Forgive them, for they know not know. They know not what they do. And I thought, that's it. Did they deserve forgiveness? No. Then why? Because he had to protect what the Father was about to do. And listen, the Father's about to do some great things in your life and mine. But I wonder how many times we impede that by unforgiveness, because we don't think people deserve it. And the Lord says, you know, it's not about them, because they probably don't. But forgiveness is a gift to keep you free from the bacteria of that sin, so it doesn't destroy what I want to do in you and through you with your family, your children, your future, your church, your ministry groups, whatever it might be. And you inaugurate that, because I started at Calvary. If you'll come back every now and then and see what's going on, and you'll understand my ways, I'll be able to convert whatever death you go through to life. And would you write down there, Jesus' suffering resulted in death in order that our deaths would result in life. The humility of Christ. Read with me this next scripture and you'll see. Go. But he emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. How important that is to see what God can do. And you and I have to work hard at that. And for some, it'll take some time, because we've got to get our humanity out of the way. I mean, how many of us agree that we need to work on our attitudes a little more? Yeah. How many of us could stand to be a little more humble than we are? But it takes a while, because we've got to get me out of the way. And even though the Bible says you have to put to death the flesh, I do that, but it keeps coming back again. That's a problem. And you got to beat it down again and beat it down again. It takes a bit. But God is saying, now listen, just like I did it at Calvary, if you'll issue forgiveness, then I'll begin the healing in your life. And whatever death you're going through, I'll change it to life. Just like Joseph. Do you remember when Joseph's brother left him in a cistern for dead? Then they sold him to a band of traveling merchants. He goes to Egypt, and then he's framed in something that he didn't do, thrown into prison, forgotten. Later on, God raises him up to be a pharaoh. His brothers come back into Egypt looking for food. He reveals himself. Now, he at this time had the power to kill them all. But instead, listen to the forgiveness that Joseph issues. He looked at his brothers and said, "You know, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for in order to bring about this present result." How did that present result happen? Saving all the Israelites from famine. Forgiveness. Did they deserve it? Nope. But it wasn't about them. It was about Joseph limiting his power in order that God's omnipotent power could change and convert something from death to life. It's going to happen in your life and mine. We're going to go through a lot of stuff. But God has a plan, and he's meant it for good already. And he's going to have buddies and enemies. And he's going to say, "I'm going to mean this for good. So it's okay. But just make sure that you know how to issue forgiveness so that my plan can begin." I remember Romans 8:28 that says, "God works all things together for good. To those that love God and are the called according to his purpose." God works all things together for good. But it starts with us forgiving. Remember, suffering will change you, but not necessarily for the better. You have to choose that. Let me say it again. Suffering will change you, but not necessarily for the better. You have to choose that. And when I choose to forgive, then God can convert that to life. So it is. I remember speaking about God works all things together for good. I was a year old in the Lord. I was going to Bible college, and I met a lady named Brunhilde van Asselt. She's actually a survivor from one of the concentration camps, a Dutch lady. And Bruni, we call her Bruni, she actually showed me her tattoo. She had a little serial number here on her forearm. And her husband, Klaus, had no hair. I mean, every follicle was empty. Even eyelashes were gone. No eyebrows. And I remember asking him, because he was a survivor of one of the camps as well. They're in their late 80s. And I said, "Why do you have like no hair anywhere?" He said, "Well, you know, Wayne, when I was in the concentration camp," he said with a heavy accent, he said, "the guards would come in and say, 'Next Wednesday, you all stand before the firing squad. We exterminate you. So get ready.'" So he said, "Wayne, I would pray and offer my life to God and get ready. Wednesday would come, they'd come in the morning with their rifles and they'd laugh. 'Ha ha, it's not today, it's Friday when you die.' And so I would go back to prayer and get myself ready. Finally, I'd come to the place where I'm ready to die. And they'd come in Friday morning. 'Ha ha, it's Monday, that's when you're really going to die. Monday,' and they kept putting it off like that until it just caused so much pain in my body that all my hair fell out." I said, "Wow, never grew back." Well, they were just dear people. I 1 year old in the Lord, brand new Bible college kid, and they would have me over their house and they would cook some meals and they just loved on me, and it was just great. But one day I got a call from the critical care unit of the hospital, and they said, "Bruni is not doing well. She's about to die, and she's asked for you to come and minister to her before she passes away." Now, I'm a year old in Bible college. I mean, I'm thinking of what scripture can I give to her to encourage this Holocaust survivor that stayed with Christ all these years. I just thought, you can't say John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he sent his son." He's already a Christian. And of course, I don't want to stand before someone and say, "Well, you know, sorry, but God works all things together for good." I said, "Oh, that's just so trite." So I'm driving to the hospital thinking, "God, give me another scripture. I just don't know that many." And I had a little New Testament pocket little pocketbook New Testament. I'm running up the stairs of the hospital trying to find some scripture that would make some sense and give some comfort. I couldn't find any. The only thing I was thinking was, you know, all, God works all things together for good, but there's no way I'm going to say that to somebody dying. So I go into the critical care unit, and there she is hooked up to tubes. And she's breathing slowly, and I could see life ebbing away. I remember standing next to her bed, and she was out, and oh, I just thought, I'm such a sham. I can't even come up with a comforting scripture. So, oh, I don't know what to do, God. Slowly, Bruni began to open her eyes, and she saw me, and she still had that heavy accent. Vane, she said, how are you doing? I said, not good, Bruni, not good. And she smiled and she raised her hand with the tubes coming out. She patted mine. She said, it's okay. God works all things together for good. And He will. If we understand the power of forgiveness to stay the bacteria that's all around us of sin from ulcerating our souls and our lives and our family and our attitude and our church. I bet there's some people that you could fill in on their name on a blank that God would say, who do you need to forgive that you've been hanging on to for way too long? He challenged me. I wrote down some names and started working on them. The same is true with you. Because we forget that forgiveness is not whether or not they deserve it. It's but whether or not you want God to take the breakage of the death and turn it to life. How much do you want that to be? That's why forgiveness is critical.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Better Together by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Now, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.